We live in interesting times. Times when we are challenged at times economically, politically. War and strife are still quite active in the world. And then each of us have our own challenges, sometimes of age, of health, of finances. And it is difficult some days to move forward and to feel like there's hope for the future, because there seems to be so much evidence that we shouldn't have any hope. It just seems like it's all going down. And yet, to some degree, that's always been the case. I remember years and years ago speaking to my dad when I was a little boy. And this was, in the late 60s, when things looked pretty grim. Word from the street wasn't encouraging, maybe. Wars and protests and all of that. And I said, so Dad, has it always been like this? Yeah, because when you're little, that's all you know. And you think, well, that this is just the way the world works, right? And he said, well, he sort of answered both ways. He said, yes, it's always been a struggle. Life is not easy for anyone. And he said, this is a particularly difficult time compared to when he was a boy. Of course, when he was a boy, it was the Depression, so that had its own difficulties. So what I took away from that was that there are always challenges in the lives we live. There's no way around that. It is part of how it's designed, I think, that none of us, no matter how blessed we are in terms of health or wealth or position in society or family, friends, etc., none of us have an easy time of it. It can appear that some people have an easier time than others, but everyone has struggles. Everyone has challenges. And so I think it's important when those times come up, as they invariably will, when we feel that our lives are being pushed to the edge in some way, our health is not good, or our money doesn't seem to exist, or those that we love have either left, passed on, or perhaps just aren't able to be there for us the way they used to be. That's the time we look to God. Now, ideally, we look to God always, good times and bad, and some of us probably do. But I know there's a few of us that don't really think a lot about God until things are pretty hard, pretty difficult. Luckily, I don't believe God judges us on that. I don't think God says, oh, well, you weren't there for me when everything was going great, so I'm not returning your call. I'm not home for you. No, I don't think it works that way. I think God is there for us no matter what. In fact, I think when it's particularly a difficult time is when God is with us even more. So the scripture today is from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And as Beth was saying, this is a different version. It's the Common English Bible version, not King James, not the New Standard Revised Version, which is in the Bible that's in your pew, not the Message version. There's, 40 different versions of the Bible in English at least. So each of them is a little different. What's particularly different about this one is that rather than say blessed, it says happy are rather than blessed are. And I know for many of us, blessed is a term that's very biblical, very scriptural. And blessed means perhaps, well, as we see it right up there on the banner, right above Roy's head, blessed. Nice one, Roy. blessed seems to state that person or those people are singled out as being particularly worthy or perhaps important, like Roy. And yet, I think blessed is, it maybe is given too much weight in that way. And in some ways, happy is a better term, because happy can be anyone and everyone. Blessed somehow gives a sense of, well, there are the blessed and there are the unblessed. Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So that's sort of confusing, because how can you be happy if you're hopeless? Well, as I was saying a few moments ago, we invariably are going to be hopeless at some point in our lives, sometimes more than once in a given day. But if we are hopeless, if we are deeply challenged by the life that we have to live, that gives us an opportunity to become something greater than that hopeless one who can only see the challenge. I don't know about you, but what I've found in my life is that there are constant challenges, constant difficulties, constant misunderstandings on my part, or on the part of others towards me. I know for years and years, I had this sense that life was just unfair. The way the universe is set up makes no sense to me. It did back when I was younger. I saw that, you know, if it was my universe, then it would run better. First of all, there'd be an owner's manual, right? So you would know when this happens, this is what you do. I've since found out that even with things as simple as computers that have owner's manuals, they still don't work. And even the IT people are like, did you try turning it on and off? Which is a little difficult if you're a living being, right? You can't just sort of disappear for a while and hope the reboot will be better. So my idea of the perfect world would be one where each of us are acknowledged for our great gifts, our talents that we bring into life, and are given the opportunity to live those, to share those, to be transformed by those, and to transform others as a result of the Spirit living through us in our day-to-day life. Oh, wait a minute. That is how it works. But I couldn't see it for the longest time. And I still have trouble seeing it. But that does seem to be how it works. I know that it's sort of funny and at times awkward when I have those three magnificent examples of the creative impulse sitting up here at children's time. Especially Nick, who has not learned to edit his response. I keep expecting one day that'll happen. Nick will be up here on the chancel, and I'll say, how are you, Nick? He'll say, fine. No, it's not a dream. That'll be a huge loss to the world when he says, oh, no, that's not appropriate. Mom told me I should, whatever, right? He challenges by the very ability he has to just say whatever is on his mind. Whether it makes sense or not doesn't matter. And God works like that in our lives. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where you're looking for an answer, you're looking for an opening, you're looking for a way through a difficult time? And what do you get? You get someone like Nick telling you, it's purple. Or, I don't, you know, you're not getting an answer that necessarily makes sense in that moment. But in the long run, Perhaps it makes a lot of sense. God works through us by us living our lives. So, in that quote I just made, that's from, of course, Jesus, happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Much of this beatitude language, to me, seems to be trying to trick us into realizing that we already have the kingdom of heaven. It's right with us right now, but we're not seeing it because we're so focused on our issues, our problems, our challenges. Now, we have to deal with those. That's part of living our life. But that's not the same thing as that's all there is. I know there are people here today in the sanctuary who were going through some of the toughest times in their lives. They're looking at an end in the foreseeable future. And that is incredibly scary and difficult and overwhelming. There's no question of that. But at the same time, that's not all that is happening. And I don't mean other people will continue to live. And I don't mean this church will still be here even after someone might have passed on. I mean that there's a whole kingdom in and around us at all times that we do not necessarily recognize, but just because we do not recognize it does not mean it is not there. It is here. And when we look at each other, really look at each other, not just, oh, there's Pearl, or there's Dorothy, or there's Diane, or there's Roy. Not just recognizing the personalities we know, but when we really look at each other and see what is this remarkable miracle of creation that's sitting next to me, in front of me, and oh my goodness, if they are that remarkable evidence of God's creativity and love for the universe, then I must be too. Which doesn't make us better than. It doesn't necessarily make us blessed, as in we're in a different category from those that are not blessed. But it might make us happy. And it might relieve some of the sense of hopelessness that can dog us and that we can feel is who we actually are, that we are hopeless, that we are lost. Happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. We have to practice it. It's like anything else. Now, I know many of you come to church every Sunday, and perhaps you read the Bible during the week or pray. You have good, solid religious lives. And it takes practice to get to that point. It's not something that happens overnight. It may be something you work on your whole lives. But there are further steps that can be taken. To realize God's presence in your life is not something that just happens when you're in church on Sunday or when things are really, really difficult and you pray harder. It can happen in the midst of a joyful moment. Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. By going through the process of the sadness and the struggle of your life, you can realize God's presence in your life. Happy are people who are humble because they will inherit the earth. Now, does that mean you're going to get asked to move into Trump Tower? Probably not. But it means that the earth is all around us and the kingdom is within us. And the line between the kingdom and the earth is sometimes not even noticeable. Humility is another way of saying, I am created by God. All of us are created by God. All of us are eventually going back to God. post our time in creation. Remembering that is incredibly important, not just because it's proof of your belief in our Methodist tradition or in our Christian faith journey, but because it can save your life. It can make you whole. It can make you new. It can make you refreshed. But it requires that we each put in time and energy to remind ourselves of it, in spite of having to work or take care of family or friends or, you know, do the laundry and all the other day-to-day things that are required of us. Learning to develop and build your faith is a lifelong task, but the dividends are huge. People, happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. Now, I think this kind of teaching is sometimes misunderstood from my point of view, that if you go out in front of Walmart and start quoting scripture, that means you're doing as Jesus would have done. And that could be true for some people. But what I'm seeing is that if you allow the teachings of Jesus and of God to influence what you're doing moment to moment, day to day, and that's your reference point, then you might become truly part of the kingdom. I want to share, if I can open it up here, a poem that I think addresses some of the challenges of living in the world and trying to choose wisely and trying to have God be your reference point. It's called Crossing the Swamp. Here is the endless, wet, thick cosmos, the center of everything, the nugget of dense sap, branching vines, the dark bird faintly belching bogs. Here is swamp. Here is struggle, closure, pathless, seamless, peerless mud. My bones knock together at the pale joints, trying for foothold, fingerhold, minehold over such slick crossings, deep hip holes, hummocks that sink silently into the black, slack earth soup. I feel not wet so much as painted and glittered with the fat, grassy mires, the rich and succulent marrows of earth. I am a poor dry stick, given one more chance by the whims of swamp water, a bough that still, after all these years, could take root, sprout, branch out, bud, make of its life a breathing palace of leaves. All of us can become the very thing Jesus was talking about. Realize children of God in the midst of our everyday lives. That's not something that's beyond us, to be blessed and to be happy. I encourage us all in this season as we're getting closer to Lent, that we take seriously our faith journeys and give ourselves to them in every way that we can, and ask the hard questions. How can I try harder, Lord? Can you help me? Can you be there for me so that I can take these unknown steps into a future that I do not understand, but into a future that I know will save and rescue me from where I am now? And you know what God's going to say? You betcha. I'm here for you. Always will be. Even when you doubt me most, I am here. For you are my child, and I love you for all eternity. Amen.